Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm Pam, and I've completed half marathons in 30 states. I just got Kentucky this past weekend and have run 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. In season 2 of this podcast series, we are looking more closely at how running enriches our lives, how the act of running, often a solitary pursuit, has a way of building community. In upcoming season 2 episodes, we will be speaking with a local runner who has built a terrific running brand, the 603 Movement, as well as we'll be chatting with a young runner who just completed her second Boston Marathon. And for today's episode, I am joined by two runners who acted on what appeared to be an easy and straightforward idea, yet their pursuit has led to all kinds of connections and bonding experiences. Let's get started. Welcome, Paul. Welcome, Gabriel. Do you want to first tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves as runners?
Sure. Want me to go first, Paul? My name is Gabriel Gomez. I live down in Cohasset, Massachusetts. I've been a runner since I was a kid. Did a lot of running in high school, obviously in college as well. And then I was in the Navy for 9 years and did too much running when I was in the Navy. Took a little bit of a break when I got out of the Navy. And then I've been running a lot, I think, for like the last 15 years. So I've done a dozen marathons, a number of half marathons, and a couple of sprint tries. But I've gotten hooked, I guess you could say, on running. And I've started this run challenge with our company a couple of years ago. So I'm an avid runner.
Great, great. So nice to have you in the studio.
My name is Paul. I am a non-avid runner. I would say the biggest start of my running came when my wife told me that Gabriel Gomez has started a run challenge, and she said you should do this the day it was starting. And I ran growing up quite a bit and did sports, but then she told me I had to run for this O2X competition, and I signed up. So prior to that, just did a bunch of half marathons. I've never done a full marathon, and someday I hope to pull that off.
I'm sure you will, Paul. Well, it's so nice to have you both here, and I'm so interested in this idea of a mile challenge, and would love a little background on that. Like, why, I don't want to say just a mile, but why a mile and why every day?
Sure. So as Paul mentioned, I'm part of one of the co-founders of O2X Human Performance. It's a company that works primarily with first responders. And when the pandemic hit in the spring of 2020, we got together as a company and just try to find a way to get people to get outside, get some exercise, and also maybe find a way to meet people that you normally wouldn't meet. And so we came up with what we thought was a pretty simple challenge, is that you had to go run outside 1 mile every day on a certain app. We call it the Runkeeper app. And that way, if you missed a day, you were out. And so we thought people were going to put in $20. We had 252 people start. The winner took all. And then the company also matched it to a charity down in DC for a first responder charity.
Nice.
We had no idea that 2 years in, our 2 year anniversary was yesterday, that we would still have 39 people still on this run challenge. And I don't really see an end to the challenge for quite a while. And then in a great way, we've got people like Paul here, who's, I think, a little humble here. He's a much better athlete and runner than he leads on to be. I've seen him do triathlons, and I've seen him finish way ahead of me. So I wouldn't let him get away with some of this stuff here.
And, you know, so this whole idea of, so Paul, you got in right from the very beginning. Has it gotten easier as it's gone along? Like, you both, congratulations on 2 years of running a mile every single day. Has it gotten easier? Does it get harder? Like, take us on that journey of running a mile every day for what's now 2 years straight.
Well, there's definitely pain for sure at the, when you're doing it at 10 o'clock at night in the rain in your driveway and doing laps, trying to get it done. But, and then I dragged in a bunch of people after Gabriel had his year challenge. I dragged in a bunch of other people and started a new year challenge, which includes your son and,
briefly
and several of my niece, my nephew, my sister, my brother-in-law, and everyone kind of jumped on after they saw I had done it for a year. They kind of were interested and wanted to be involved.
And that's what I guess I really wanted to have you both on, because it's that idea of something what seemed really straightforward and hard to imagine how many people would get involved has really had tentacles that have reached out. So maybe to both of you, like, what is the Mile Challenge crew look like? What's the, you know, how many, you had said, Gabe, that there were originally over 250 people, I think, in it. Are those individuals all ages? Do people do their miles first thing in the morning? When you look at the data of the group, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So in ours, we started with 252 people, and I'd say that they were people from all over the country, because we do a lot of work with first responders, and we're in from West Coast to East Coast, North and South, and all ages too. We've got, I think one person that's still in is a 12-year-old boy. Lives in Scituate. And we have people that are as old as in their 60s and 70s that keep doing it. It really varies. I would say that the time of day that people run it also varies quite a bit. I track a number of people that on the app as well, and sometimes I'll see them run early in the morning. Sometimes I'll see them run right before the midnight cutoff line. And it's really just whatever time zone you're in. But I think one of the things that's really great about it is that people think, you know, 1 mile, how hard can that be?
Right.
And then physically, I mean, it's not super hard to go run a mile a day, but it's more the mental part and the discipline and the commitment to get up, and you end up kind of running your day around when you're going to do the mile. I usually do mine early in the morning, but now the last few weeks or last couple of months, I've decided to make it a little bit more of a challenge and get it closer kind of in the evening. And I will say,
how's that going?
Every time I run at night, I wish I'd have ran in the morning, to say the least. But, and then there's also, it's not all created equal, because some people are in California where the weather's nice all year round, or in Florida. Some people are here in Boston or in Minneapolis where the winters and can get pretty brutal. You know, you're out there and could be negative degree weather. And while somebody out in California is running in 80 degree weather down in San Diego, and I don't think every mile is created equal, but they're both still having to get out there and do a mile. So you have to give people credit.
Yeah, absolutely. And do many of the runners start with that mile challenge, but you notice that typically they're doing more than that, like they're averaging 3 miles?
That's a great point, because when I started following Paul here, you know, I started all of a sudden realizing, like, holy cow, he just went 8 miles, and then he went 10 miles the next day, and then he went 2, and then he went 13. And I finally asked, what are you training for? And he goes, no, I just kind of go out there and run. And I thought you were training for like a half or a full marathon. And then he told me he wasn't training for something. I go, well, you should go run something long distance, because you're running like 50 miles a week. So,
yeah, you feel guilty. You just need to, sometimes you just want to keep going, and you'll run 12 miles, 13 miles, 14 miles. And the Strava challenge, you can pick a monthly challenge where you can say, I'm going to do 20 kilometers this month, or I'm going to do 100 kilometers this month, and you just sign up. And in the summer, it's a lot easier. But certainly, as we've noticed, the people in Texas have a lot nicer lifestyle than we do.
Well, they maybe get the heat in the summer that we don't get. It finally gets nice here. So I'm curious, like, I don't use either Runkeeper or Strava, so I would love kind of a little insight on that for our listeners who maybe don't use those apps. What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? I know my sense is just sitting on the porch and hearing the cousins, for example, talk about looking at each other on Strava. It's got a little social media element to it.
Yeah, we started with Runkeeper, and then I switched to Strava. I know I have to actually use two apps when I run, which is kind of doubles the mental part of it. But what I found is that Strava has brought more, you know, kind of stalkers, people I didn't really think were, because you don't have to follow somebody per se to actually see what they're doing. On Runkeeper, you do have to follow each other, kind of like on Facebook or LinkedIn. You have to friend each other in order to see what people are doing. But on Strava, every once in a while, I'll get a kudos from somebody where I'm like, had no idea.
Who are you?
I'm like, A, who are you? And then B, I didn't realize you were like interested in my running routes and things like that. So it does get a little eerie sometimes.
Yeah, I would agree that I've had several instances where one of my best friends who lives in LA now was running in Boston, you know, and I saw he ran in Boston, so I immediately texted him, said, why didn't you tell me you're in town? And
right. He says, you were stalking
him.
Yeah,
I was stalking him, and I said, you know, Mark, why didn't you tell me you were in Boston? It's like, well, I was just here for a day. You know? So So there's a lot of stalking. You can always keep track of what people are doing.
Now you know how our kids feel when we track them on Snapchat, yeah, right?
Exactly. Right.
I do love the map feature. That, to me, this past weekend, a friend was running her Garmin watch, created a map of our race route, which was so cool because she could then go back through it and it could show all the different neighborhoods we went through. But, you know, is that like, so the stalking, that's probably a thumbs down feature, but is the maps a feature that's a thumbs up? Are there certain features you do like about it? Like you were saying, Gabriel, where it has like these monthly challenges, or maybe you were saying that, Paul, like has monthly challenges. Are there things that you really like about it, motivating about it?
I mean, I love that you can see where your friends are running or bike. And it's not just running, it's biking. It's every activity they do. I've put a Strava on when I've water skied around Halls Lake, which is very entertaining. And people just laugh that, like, yeah, he did a lap around Halls Lake. So
you also do it when you're skiing. I wasn't stalking you, but I realized that you had gone skiing a few times in the last couple months, and I was like, wow, he's going like 65 miles an hour. I'm not sure if you really wanted to go that fast. So.
Yeah, you can track your skiing. You can track everything. So, nice. And everyone loves watching what you're doing.
Yeah, on the Runkeeper, I think one of the cool things is it'll give you what your weekly stats are, and it'll give you monthly, it'll give you yearly, and you can look at it from like last week compared to this week, last month compared to last month, last year compared to this year. So, and you can look at your pace, you can see how far you've ran, how many calories you burned. So after a while, if you've been doing this for so long, you start thinking of different things to think about when you're running. You just kind of start getting into numbers and data, and it just kind of keeps your mind active and engaged.
Nice. If another community or friend group wanted to start a mile challenge, any guidance for them? Like what's worked well with the group and what you would do differently if you were starting over day one again?
Well, I would say the hardest part of the run challenge is keeping track of people who have done it. So I don't know how they do it on Runkeeper, but certainly on Strava, we can only track 100 athletes at a time.
I gotcha.
So I just wait until they fade, until there's 100 people left, and then I can follow them all. But it's pretty difficult. It's also humbling to call people out and say, you didn't run on December 15th. It wasn't there. And then they're out.
Oh, okay. So someone has to be the moderator of the group.
Someone has to be the evil person that keeps track of it. You know, and I always told people, send me an email that says shame if you missed it. But everyone always did. They try to sneak through it, and we busted them.
Yeah, Runkeeper, I think you can do definitely more than 100. And we have one person back at the office at headquarters who tracks it all. And because people always ask when people have heard about this run challenge, because I'll be in Ireland golfing or I'll be somewhere. And I'll be right back. I got to go run. I was in a casino in Arizona a month or two ago, 10 o'clock. I go, holy cow, I better go run. So I went and ran a mile, came back. They're like, is it on the honor system? I go, oh, no, it's not on the honor system. You got to be able to track this thing. So Runkeeper does a good job being able to track it. But my guess is that it's quite a bit of work managing it. But now that we're down to 39, it's gotten a lot easier. But at the beginning, you'll hear people like, oh, I ran. I go, no, you actually, it doesn't show that you've ran. And so it's pretty binary.
Interesting. Following a little bit of a test of human behavior, right? And I imagine for some people, it might even be a relief when they no longer have to track that mile and get up and do that every day. But kudos to both of you for doing that for over 2 years now. And no end in sight, right? You're just going to keep at it?
I don't see an end in sight.
Yeah, we're just going head to head until one of us loses. So I won't lose to him, and he won't lose to me.
The problem is I usually run the same route. So if he really wants to take me out, he has a pretty good idea of when I'm going to run and where I'm going to run. He's a little more, sometimes he's in Boston over at the medical center, sometimes he's in Cohasset. But then I see these zigzags where he may have gone like 100 yards like 20 times. And if he really wants to get rid of me, he has a better chance of doing that.
I mean, the most interesting rule is the airport rule. So we have a rule that you have to run outside, but if you're at an airport, you can run inside. And so I've had several people call me up and say, you know, my plane took off at 11 p.m. in Las Vegas, and I landed in Boston at 1 a.m. Can I still run And I say, as long as you don't go through customs, it's as long as it's
a few qualifiers.
As the airplane takes off in that time zone, you can run as long as you don't go through customs. So
I like that. I don't think we have that rule, but I'll have to talk to Jill. Quite back simple. To headquarters. Yeah, I like that rule.
Where the airplane takes off from.
Good.
That is great. Well, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. So are there some South Shore, you both live down south of Boston. Are there any recommendations in terms of trails or running routes that you'd recommend to listeners?
Sure. I mean, we're fortunate. We live down south of Boston, the South Shore in Cohasset. There's state parks down there. There's Wampatucks down there. You literally have miles of running by the ocean if you want to. Even in Cohasset, you can start at the beach, you can run a 10K or a 5K, and most of it could be by the water. So there's just a lot of scenic, you know, very easy kind of momentum type things that you can do down there in Cohasset on the running trails there.
Nice.
Yeah, I would agree. It's I find myself driving to the beach multiple times most days, and I just park at the beach and head out, and there's multiple routes that can be 2 mile, 3 mile, 5 mile, whatever you want to do. Get your mile done and be home.
Nice.
Do you know how far you're going to run each time you run? Because I've seen him start at the beach, and he'll do what's typically the triathlon bike course, which is like 11 or 12 miles. Or sometimes he'll do the 5K course, the run course. But I've seen you do the bike route too as well.
I think it just depends on how much pain I want to suffer through. And I go out there and I think I'm going to run my mile, 1 mile. And then next thing you know, it's 13.
13 miles in, yeah.
Okay, that never happens to me, Paul. So again, I think you're being awfully humble about your athletic ability. Because more often than not, I might start out and go shorter than I had planned. Never do I say, I'm just going to run a mile and then go 13. So kudos to you for that.
I think that touches on one of the things that this challenge has, you know, garnered over. If you do it for a year and now 2 years, is that you start realizing you can do a lot more than you really thought you could. And I mean, I don't think if you think about the number of people, the percentage of people who have actually done something for a year, do a mile for a year, it's extremely small. 2 years, it gets even smaller and smaller. And after you've done something like that for quite a while, going from 1 to 3 or 5 or 10 doesn't seem like such a big deal as it would pre-challenge, I think. So I think it builds a lot of mental resilience and a lot of you able to achieve, or you know that you can do a lot more than you thought you could initially, which I think is one of the major benefits of this challenge itself.
And the funny thing is the Sunday night, I certainly have had my friend Dave Bartlett, who is my best friend from growing up. He'll text me on Sunday and say, all right, you did 30 miles this week. I've done 28.5. Do I have to go out and do another half mile? And I say, yeah, but I'll do another half mile after you at 11:59 to beat you. So it's we have the weekly challenge where you can see the miles everyone's doing.
So it sounds like there's layers to what, again, a very straightforward mile challenge. Obviously, you've incorporated layers to the competition part of it. And I would imagine, you know, both of you are fathers, both of you have children. What do your kids think of you doing this mile challenge?
Oh, they've always thought I was a little bit crazy. So they weren't surprised or shocked when Dad came up with another crazy idea, even though I told him it wasn't my idea initially at the company. But I feel like it's a good example for them, and all my kids are runners. Some of them don't enjoy running, but they still run because they all do sports. But I think it's just a good example to set for them, and I think they enjoy it. They like to see Dad in pain. They like to see Dad when he hasn't ran his mile yet, and it's like 10 o'clock at night or 11 o'clock at night, and they enjoy me having to go outside.
Yeah, my kids were awful at it. I had, you know, 5 signed up, and they would start playing golf and turning on their thing and doing their walk for a mile, or my daughter would get on the bike and they got busted. It just didn't work. We knew that if she did a mile in 5 minutes, it was not true.
She could probably swim a mile in 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, she could swim faster, but it was certainly the running. It's clear. We knew when they were cheating. So, but my son made it for 6 months, and
good for you.
The problem was he would drag me out. I finally made him quit because I would go out at night at 10 o'clock and have to sit there and watch him run laps around the driveway. And I said, "Enough!
You're torturing me." Some of those maps.
Yeah.
And it has built, I would imagine, I know in our family, right, it's built this sense of connection and accountability towards each other. And I imagine in the group, maybe you even have closer friendships with individuals just because of tracking them on Strava. Again, kind of a way to build community. Has that happened in your lives? Have you seen that?
Yeah. And I'd say that some people that are still in the challenge are surprises too. Like one of my best friends I golf with a lot. He was a collegiate tennis player, so he was a good athlete, but he never was a runner, and he signed up day one, just kind of like Paul. Like, I think I talked to him the day before the challenge started in 2020, and he's still in it. And I never would have thought that he'd be one of the people that would A, enter the challenge, and then B, and still be in it. And I think he is determined to be the last person standing. So
we're going to have you guys back to hear who, you know, finally takes the win for this.
A lot of money on the table right now.
We might be retired by then.
But we don't know where it's going to end right now. You know, right. The year ended and people are debating, do they keep going? And they all just keep running just to.
Yeah.
Well, that's happening. A good thing to kind of keep going, I have to say, right? In the scheme of things, that's a wonderful, wonderful challenge. And it's just great to hear that it's been so successful and that you both are keeping it going. So at this point, maybe we'll just turn to some other questions that I always like to ask my guests around, like a favorite running shoe, a favorite tech item. Is there anything, again, is our listeners could be individuals who might be starting out running. Are there things that you'd recommend? Are there shoes that you've gravitated towards, anything like that?
I've tried all different kinds of shoes. I've gone from Nike to Asics to New Balance, and I'm a Roger Federer fan, so he's got this shoe company called On, and I didn't think it was gonna be like a running shoe, but I tried them halfway through the first year and I stuck with them ever since. So nice. I learned something there, that it's not just kind of like a cool looking shoe, but it's actually a pretty good running shoe as well. So that's my favorite shoe.
Nice. You're the first one on this podcast to mention that. So I'm going to have to put a link to it in our show notes.
There we go. I am totally dedicated to my Garmin watch. I've never ran with the watch before. And now it's amazing.
What do you like about it?
Well, I love that it tracks everything I do. I go for a walk with my dog and I start it. And I get credit for it. And I'll water ski with it. I'll ski with it. And it just tracks all my activities. So I'm addicted to it now.
And obviously the Garmin is connected to the Strava app.
Yeah. Just,
I have no idea about that, but that's my sense of what you're saying.
Immediately downloads my ski activity, my water skiing, my dog walking.
Nice. Nice. So the other question I'd like to ask, do either of you have a favorite race you want to do at some point in the future? Is there a someday race?
I'm going to convince Paul I think we should start with a 50 miler first. There's a 50 mile race. I'm not sure if it's a race, but it's a competition down in DC called the JFK, which is on his anniversary in November when he was killed. Mm-hmm. And then I think we can go to a 100 miler.
That sounds great. I'll certainly start. I'm doing the covered bridges June. So that'll be my,
That's a beautiful race.
Maybe I'll go with Gabriel for the 50 miler. But
I heard the covered bridge is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's famous. It is beautiful. Kevin ran it at least once, and it's fun to spectate, and it's just such an iconic, right in Woodstock or Queechee, Vermont, such an iconic location. Hard to get into.
Yes. So fundraiser. I'm somehow going to ask you for money.
I will willingly support whatever the cause is. So another question I like to ask is, what do you say to yourself when the going gets tough?
I always feel like there's so many other people doing it that you know, are all different shapes, sizes, age, whatever. And I figure that if X person can do it, then, or X people can do it, then there's no reason that I shouldn't be able to do it if I'm still able to walk and move forward. So, like I said at the beginning, it's not so much the physical part, it's just the mental part. And that's what keeps me going, knowing that there's many more people doing it. And there's no reason for me to stop.
And I have a similar situation as I'm not going to lose to him. So there's no way that I will lose to Gabriel, and we'll just keep going forever.
I didn't realize he created a monster, but I'll take credit.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I feel like there's like a documentary series that we could have out there, like around this little rivalry that you have going in your town. It would be really, really, really fun to put together. Are there any final thoughts you want to share with our listeners around your running journey?
I would say that it's never too late to start, right? And I've had some friends that unofficially joined our challenge, but they're not part of the O2X challenge, but they've been in it for a year and a half or more now. They just didn't start on day one. But to them, they're part of the challenge because they're doing a mile every single day. So I would just say that it's never too late to do something. And maybe it's not even run a mile a day. It's just try to find something that you can do every single day and make that a challenge in itself. And there's everybody's different. So people might have different ideas of what would be a challenge for them. And I just think that they'll be better mentally as well as physically from doing it.
Nice.
I would agree. I think it's just fun to have a goal every day. And that 8 to 10 minutes, it's not that long. And just get out there and run. It's fun. And it's fun to see your friends, what they're doing, and give them kudos and cheer everyone on.
It sounds really fun. It sounds really supportive. You very much have inspired me to want to give it a try. So I don't know if there's a sign up period for the mile challenge, but if there is, I think I'm in. So you've totally
sign up. It's
the Strava part. It's the Strava part of it that has me a little overwhelmed. But it's been so nice to have you both in the podcast studio. I'm so grateful to you for sharing your insights with our listeners. And I just want to thank our listeners for tuning in to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. You can find episodes on all podcast platforms. But until next time, I hope our listeners are feeling energized about planning their next race. Gabriel and Paul, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you for having me, Pam. It's been a pleasure.
Let's go run.
Let's go.